Good morning, everybody. We are all gathered here on the 9th of November, Saturday 2024, for another session of Mindfulness for Beginners in English conducted by Nisaran Wanaya. This is the 157th session, and I would like to warmly welcome Venerable Rohini for this session. And we would also like to welcome everyone who is joining via the Zoom and Facebook live stream or anyone who will be watching later. Our program will commence as usual with the in-session practice of mindfulness. And then we will follow that by the talk by Venerable Rohini on today's topic. And then it will follow with any questions and answers and reports sent to us by all of you. To begin this session, I now invite Venerable Rohini to start the in-session practice of mindfulness. Over to you.
Thank you, Sonali. Hello, everyone. So today we will practice mindful walk. So it is a walking day. I think you all are familiar with the walking practice and a long time practicing it. So today I am just asking this, do the same thing. You can walk up and down, choose and place. So where I will ask, or according to the topic as well, it will go with the topic. So I am asking you all to, while you are walking mindfully, just notice, is there any thoughts come and go? If you can notice them, are they good or bad? So while you are walking, that you are practicing walking meditation or warm sakmana, but in the meantime, while you are walk, if you going to catch any thoughts come and go, if you find those thoughts are good or bad, just notice them. So saying that, I will ask all of you to practice 10-15 minutes for walking meditation or sakmana. Shall we do? Okay, everyone. Does anyone have anything to share while doing a mindful walk or some mindful sitting? But if you could observe any thoughts, bad or good, if you can categorize in a bad or good. Nothing to share. Okay, then we will move into the next thing. I think, is there any new ones for the program? In any case, is there any new one? So just we did mindful walk. So mindful walk is something you are doing walking. Keep your mind or aware while you are walking. So awareness is on either in your body. Sometimes you can keep your focus on body, how it moves. Sometimes you can focus on the feelings where you walk, the surface feeling. Sometimes you can watch the bodily weight shifting from one leg to the other. So whatever you are observing, doesn't matter. The observing should be within your body. So that is how we do mindful walk. If someone is new, so I just wanted to add that. So saying that, over to you, Sonali or Arosh.
Thank you very much, Venerable Rohini, for the guidance on our mindfulness practice today. So the next item on the agenda is to listen to the talk on mindfulness. And today's topic is good and evil. We should fight to keep the enemy in check and not to eliminate them. So I would now like to invite Venerable Sister Rohini to deliver today's talk on mindfulness on that topic. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, it is a good topic and a meaningful topic, actually. So I think you all listened to Venerable Bhante's speech last week. So I'm just going to maybe add, I don't know, but according to my knowledge and my ideas, I will deliver the talk. So good and evil, we should fight to keep the enemy in check, not to eliminate them. Actually, this principle is very simple, but it's profound meaning. It has a profound meaning. The key, keep the enemy in check, but do not strive to eliminate them. So in that sentence, everybody maybe feel that we acknowledge the presence of potential threat. So it is like it that sentence gives a meaning as a we are accepting or we are acknowledging the potential threat, but keeping the enemy in check. But we accept and we aware about the enemies, and we are not going to eliminate, but only checking whether it is going to harm us. So I have a very tiny, I mean 3 minutes video. I invite all of you to watch it. Can I share video?
Yes, you can, Venerable.
There is a legend I wish to share with you. It is said that a wise Cherokee elder was once teaching his young grandson about life. There is a war going on inside of me, said the elder. It is a war between the two wolves. One wolf is evil. He is anger, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. But the other wolf is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. Then the elder placed a hand on his grandson's shoulder. This same war is raging within you and within the heart of every man, woman, and child. The young man was thoughtful for a moment and then asked, "Which wolf will win?" The grandfather's reply was simple: "The one you feed." I have learned that the point of life's walk is not where or how far I move my feet, but how I am moved in my heart. If I walk far, but am angry toward others as I journey, I walk nowhere. If I conquer mountains, but hold grudges against others as I climb, I conquer nothing. If I see much, but regard others as enemies, I see no one. Whether we walk among our people or alone among the hills, happiness in life's walking depends on how we feel about others and our hearts. We travel only as far and as high as our hearts will take us. If I was to move forward, I needed to leave all that was backward behind. Whatever you carry that invites a backward walking, leave it behind. Which wolf will win? The one you feed.
So I just wanted to share that video because, in summary, it says, what we feed is the one who wins. So we all have those qualities, good and bad. No one can say, I am a good or that person is good, 100%. So we all have that good and bad within us. So what we feed is the important thing that is going to win. What we feed is the one who's going to win. So we all have those two wolves. In some stories it says red wolf and blue wolf. So whatever the color or whatever the meaning, so who we feed is the one who is going to win. So I am not going to talk today about the outside evils. I am going to talk about evils within us. So we all carry all those evils. We all have jealousy. We all have anger. We all have fearfulness. We all have all those negative or evil things. At the same time, we all have generosity, we all have compassion, we all have kindness, and we are all like to help sometimes and most of the time maybe. So we all have those good and bad qualities. But mostly, if we talk, I will put in this way. When we are practicing mindfulness, we all know in certain extent, we have gained a kind of knowledge about myself. If I am practicing mindfulness, then I get a knowledge about myself. Who am I? What kind of person I am? So, am I an angry person? Am I a passionate person? Am I a generous person? So, we have. That doesn't mean we all the time we are doing that, but majority of the time we are doing that. So that in that sense, we have some kind of knowledge about myself. We all have that. And when we are establish such a mindfulness, the awareness about myself, that is a kind of mindfulness we already established. Once we establish that kind of mindfulness, we can understand others. We can understand with the inferential knowledge or deductive knowledge. So we can guess, though others are the same, having same things, same feelings. When they get angry, so it is same similar to me. So that kind of knowledge we can have. That means we all are in the same boat. Once we may be a good person, but the next day I am not going to be. So my close friend might be a good person, and he or she always doing good things, good with a good heart. But sometimes that person also, there is a possibility of being failure in that sense. So if I go for the everyday life, as a lay people, you all are busy. And monks and nuns also all are busy, but not busy like you lay people. So you all are busy with children. You all are busy with your family life. You all are busy with extended family people or neighbors. Or sometimes you are busy with watching about the country and so on. So there are lots of things going on around lay people's life. They are very busy with those things. So what they do, they always trying to solve the current issues. Whatever the issue, the lay people want to solve that problem. So they are worried about it. They are worried about current issues. They are worried about the future issues. So they are planning how to eliminate the future issues. Future issues for children, future issues for families, parents, neighbors, friends. So there are a lot of things we are trying to eliminate. And also we are worried about the past. So the past is the most of the time we get worried and frustrated. So we are very embarrassed about the past. Sometimes we are happy about the past. But mostly we talk or mostly we think about the failure of the past and worry about the past. So taking that my past as an example, we always worry about the future. These worries are the one we are feeding. So when we go back to that video, we have all of us has that the good wolf and the evil wolf, a bad wolf. But most of the time, if you think about it, most of the time we all are thinking of the bad things, what has happened, what will happen, right now what I am facing. So all of the time, most of the time actually, most of the time we think about the bad things, bad things, bad things, bad things. So that sense we are feeding bad things. So most of the time, that is why we are busy, and that is why we have all, most of us has kind of sicknesses, mental or physical sicknesses, because we are always suffering about the present moment. Because we are not in the present moment, so we are suffering. And because we are not in the present moment, we are suffering of thinking the past. And because of we are not in the present moment, we are suffering about the future. We are thinking of future. Especially mental sickness and the physical sickness are there. So we, most of us worry about the sickness. Most of us worry about the health issues. What will going to happen for me? So if something happened to me, what will going to happen to my children? So all those worries are, we are feeding them. We are always feeding those thoughts. So now we can understand which kind of or what kind of wolf we are feeding. So when we more and more, when we feed more and more, this the evil wolf, so that one is the going to win. So if we can see it actually when we go to day-to-day life, how many hours, how many minutes, how many seconds we are suffering. We are suffering about thinking many, many things that has not happened yet. But we are thinking that will happen. So that out of that thinking pattern, we suffer. Because of that suffering, that means we are feeding the evil wolf or bad wolf. For example, sometimes you may be thought that managing problem is better than eliminating them. I will give you some examples. Just imagine there is a conflict in your workplace. If you are going to eliminate that person from your life, so it is hard and you always get frustrated and you always having negative feelings towards yourself as well as towards that person. So if you are, if you can manage it, if you can think about it, and if you can think about that person's good things, and if you can think about, okay, time will get into the solution, and if you are going to manage it with the negotiation, with talking or something like that, then rather than going to eliminate that, you might feel better in that sense. The other thing I can remember is like a financial debt. If you have something to pay off, so if you can pay off on once for all everything, it is good. But if you can't, if you worry about it, then you are feeding the bad wolf. So instead, if you can pay, if you can make any regular payments, manageable payments, then you have less stress than thinking of, okay, when I will pay off that debt, when I am going to free from that debt. So it is not a good feeling. So if you are having kind of thought that, okay, I am going to manage it, I am going to pay off little by little. So then in that sense, you are having kind of self-relief. And the other thing is, if you can keep under control any problems, then you can handle it better, in better way. Rather than if you are going to eliminate it, maybe you are going to accept more and more troubles. When we talk about those things as a mindfulness practitioner, so the mindfulness itself, we says, it is non-judgment. Whatever you are thinking, you just accept it as it is, and you are not going to label them, good or bad. When you accept it, so for example, this just before I asked you to do mindful work and just to observe if there is any thoughts, just to observe whether it is bad or good. So likewise, you just observe and let it go, or just observe and not labeling or not attaching it. So then there's no judgment and there's no frustration as also. And while if you are practicing mindfulness, the patience is there. The understanding the change and the understanding that any changes take time, the patience make you mature. The patience is a good weapon against the frustration. And the other thing is, as a beginner's mind, if you can approach any time, every day, as a beginner, I am a child, like a child for the mindfulness practice. I am like a child to with the open heart, you know, anything is okay. So if you have that kind of mentality, that openness, then you are not having any kind of frustrations or anything. So that means if you practice mindfulness, then there is some kind of solution or some kind of escape from troubles, escape from that bad wolf. So you are not going to feed that bad wolf if you are mindful. And the other thing is, you are getting more and more trust about yourself. That trust you build within you is a very good weapon to fight with. It is a good weapon to fight with your own thoughts. If you have trust yourself, okay, I can manage it. I don't need to eliminate anything. I don't want to eliminate my thoughts. I don't want to eliminate my feelings. Just I will manage it. I just observe it. So that kind of trust, if you have that kind of trust, it is a very good weapon, or it is a very good solution. And the other thing is, when you are focusing on present movement rather than striving for a specific outcome, for example, you are trying to be mindful and you are sitting and you sit and you close your eyes and you are trying to observe your breath. But instead, if you can't find the breath, then rather than watching or looking or frustrated mind is keeping all the time saying or thinking, oh, I can't watch my breath, or I can't feel my breath. Instead of frustration feelings, if you can't catch the breath, if you can't find the breath, if you can't see the breath, you can observe the bodily feelings. You have other bodily feelings that you can catch. So rather than your frustration, or if rather than having any complaint about I can't see my breath, if you can focus on your bodily movements or bodily feelings, that is more than good. So if you don't have striving thoughts, or you are looking for any specific outcome, then you are having free beginner's mind and a free trustworthy mind. So in that sense also, you are free from bad thoughts, or you are not feeding the bad thoughts. And the other thing is, if you can accept whatever happened, if you can acknowledge the reality, if you can acknowledge the situation, whatever the situation you are right now facing. So that is also a good way of feeding the good wolf, not the bad one. So in mindfulness, you all maybe have that experience. In the beginning, we all want to eliminate all the thoughts. So we think, okay, when I can eliminate all thoughts, when I am going to satisfy looking at or observing my breath. How can I observe my breath for 15 minutes? So those are the thoughts we all have most of the time. So instead of those thoughts, if we can acknowledge, if we can appreciate or happy about two, three thoughts that I could observe my breath, maybe out of 15 minutes, 10 minutes or 12 minutes is wandering mind. You don't know where it was. But still, if you have mindfulness practice, if you could observe the breath for 3 minutes, if you can acknowledge it, then your mind feeding the good wolf. That means whenever you sit for mindfulness practice, the first day you sit and the mindfulness is not there at all, or maybe 2-3 minutes you could observe the breath, or you could observe the bodily movements, but rest of the time the mind was wandering, you don't know where it was. But still, if you have that, we call hakisanya. So if you have that kind of, okay, I could Observe my breath for 2 minutes or 3 minutes. If you appreciate it, when the next time when you sit for the mindfulness practice, the appreciation will play a big role to bring your mind back to the breath. Bring your mind back to the posture. Bring your mind back to the bodily movements. So whenever you are trying to eliminate that thoughts, okay, out of 15 minutes, 10 minutes I was roaming with my thoughts. So if you see that in that way, and if you are trying to eliminate those thoughts, the thoughts come again and again without any delay. So all the thoughts flood when you have that kind of mentality. So instead of trying to eliminate those thoughts, if you appreciate, instead of eliminating those thoughts, if you can appreciate your observation of thoughts or observation of breath or observation of the bodily feeling, that is kind of feeding a good wolf. And in practice also, we all are like to eliminate sounds. Because sounds, most of the time, sounds make distraction for our mindfulness practice. And heat, cold, bad weather, mosquito, all sort of things are distractions. Distractions for my mindfulness practice. So we all are try to eliminate those things. Whenever we try, whenever we frustrated about those things, they come more and more. And we feeding the bad wolf. The other thing I should say, when we want to feed the good wolf or eliminate, not to eliminate, or trying not to eliminate the bad or evil wolf, then we have some difficulties, because to do that, we need to have a continuous effort. If we practice mindfulness right now, and if we are waiting for next Saturday to practice, then it is not a continuous effort. So we need to have kind of continuous effort to feed the good wolf. So continuous effort means every day for 10-15 minutes, practice mindfulness on breath. 10-15 minutes practice mindfulness on walk, and 10 maybe 5 to 5 maybe very little time practicing day-to-day activities. Then you are putting your right effort or continuous effort. If you can put like that, then we are always feeding the right or the good wolf. So for that, we need to have a vigilant or aware and be ready to act when necessary. We should have that kind of attitudes. And then we need to have a long-term commitment. If we practice 1 month and then whenever it comes in a positive manner, if we give up, if we are not trying to put effort continuously, then there is no long-term commitment. If there is no long-term commitment, that means again we are feeding the bad wolf. And also someone, we need to have some kind of friends to motivate us, some kind of teachers to motivate us. Especially what my thought is, if we have a kind of group of people that who go with together nice way, that is a very good motivation for mindfulness practice. If you have that kind of group, you are very lucky, and that motivation is a good thing, a best thing, second to the having a good teacher. So saying that, if we are mindful and if we are practicing mindfulness and if we are active in mindful way, then we can not to eliminate but to watch the enemy. Because we are feeding the good wolf, then bad wolf will be there, but we don't care and we just watch them. So while we are doing walking practice, walking meditation, maybe some thoughts come that are not appreciated. Those thoughts are maybe not good thoughts. Maybe it's a hatred thought. Maybe it's a lustful thought. But if you just ignore it without giving any attachment, without giving any thoughts, or without giving any heaviness to that, or we thought, okay, I should not think of those things, it is not good for someone like me, and you know, we all have that kind of thoughts whenever we have bad thoughts. So we don't need to worry about it, because thoughts are thoughts. They come and go without any agenda. We are not inviting them. They are come. If we accept it, then we are giving the uninvited strangers the home. Uninvited strangers to chair. Oh, come and sit. So we don't need to do that. Without doing that, we can feed the good wolf. Ignoring bad wolf, just watching them, and ignoring bad wolf, we can feed the good wolf. So by keeping the mind in check, we can acknowledge our thoughts and emotions without letting them control us. So for that, we need to practice mindfulness. When we practice mindfulness, we can definitely check our mind, check our thoughts, and we can acknowledge our thoughts and emotions, whatever it is, and we can let them not to let them control us. So for that, we need to practice mindfulness again and again, without any delay, having a kind of motivation, having some kind of friends around us, and the continuous effort and long-term commitment. Those are the thing we need to keep on to feed the good enemy and keep away the bad one, but watching them without eliminating it. So if we are trying to eliminate something, that will come again and again more aggressively. So what we need to do, we just ignore them. We know it is there, and just ignoring is the best thing to feed the good wolf. So for that, we need to continuously observe our thoughts and feelings. Continuously observe means, that is, in Buddha's word, it's a samma ajiva. So we are having right livelihood. For that, we need to observe our thoughts. That doesn't mean by observing, we need to eliminate all the bad thoughts. We never can do. Because thoughts are thoughts. It is not any under any agenda. It is not under control. So it comes and go. Whenever we are happy to welcome it, then it is a burden. If we are not happy to welcome, and if we are just observing it, that is a keeping under control. So saying that, I would like to sum up the talk, and hopefully you will take whatever I said in a positive manner in your practice. So all the very best for your practice, and thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Venerable Rohini, for that talk. We will have time for questions later in the program. So I will now move to the next part of today's program, which is to remind ourselves of the guidance for this program on mindfulness for beginners, and also for us to hear the practice reports that have been sent in, and to get the guidance of Venerable Rohini on those practice reports. So for that, I would like to invite Samantha to take over and do the Guide to Mindfulness and the Practice Reports. Thank you, Samantha.
Thank you, Arosha. And Avasarai, Venerable Rohini, and hello, everyone, to the program as well. Thank you, Venerable, as well, for the wonderful talk that you just gave, and the video is very interesting, and look forward to the discussion. Today, we have two reports. Before I read out the two reports, Venerable, and everyone, I'll just remind if any newcomers regarding the program, and Arusha's just put in the chat some links on the basic guidance on how to meditate, and do submit your experiences and how to submit your experiences in a form of a report to Bhante or Venerable Rohini. And Bhante or Venerable Rohini will then give valuable guidance in how to progress in your meditation. So do make use of this time as well. There's also two helpful video links put together by Nisaran, as you can see, on mindful walking and mindful sitting. You can allocate some time for the practice daily, starting with walking and then sitting gradually, building up to 2 hours, as Venerable Rohini advised, to do the practice daily. That will be very helpful. Then please submit your experiences in writing, both mindful walking and sitting, to Bhante and Venerable Rohini. There's an example in the chat on how to do this. For example, if walking, you can describe any prominent sensations, texture of the ground, pressure points on the soles, and how your body shifted. And similarly, in the sitting meditation, again, you can refer to any prominent sensations like incoming and outgoing of the breath, sensations at the nostrils, rising and falling of the abdomen, etc. And also, you can write your experience of mindfulness during the day as well, which is also important to be mindful throughout the day. Then in the session, Bhante or Venerable Rohini will give valuable guidance for your own practice and how to progress in your meditation. So it's a good opportunity to make use of this time. You can send your reports either in the Google format, as in the link, or by email using the links provided again in the chat. So this is a good opportunity, like I said, to get personal guidance, and you can continue with your mindfulness practice during the week according to the advice given for your individual report during the session. Also, just like to bring to your attention that finally the recordings of the session are available should you wish to revisit the talks and advice at the link given in the chat. Okay, so now I'll go on to the reports. We have two reports, Venerable. I'll start with the first report, which is on walking meditation. Right, so walked 30 steps on tiled floor, initially noting left and right foot being placed, then noted the weight on heel was more than on the toes, prominent on the on left than right foot. Observed areas of foot not touching the ground, like the parts between the toes and medial arch of foot. The changes in temperature felt in different parts of foot, sometimes warm, and parts colder. When the foot touched the areas between the tiles, the uneven rough parts felt compared to the smooth sensation when whole foot was placed in the middle of a tile. Warmth felt in the body, and naturally, walking slowed down, mind noting the lifting, moving, and placing of each foot. The noise of brushing of the trouser legs heard on and off. Occasionally, thoughts noted, but mind kept going back to body. Walked 45 minutes. Shall I carry on with the sitting meditation as well, Venerable Rohini?
Please.
Yeah. So during the sitting meditation, observed breath, noting in and out breaths, and then breath breaking up. Breath most prominent in left nostril, noted a swinging motion of breath getting faster and then disappearing. It reappeared and warmer, out breath. Some images, thoughts slightly distracting at times, but mind returning to breath spontaneously. Some pains noted, not distracting, mind staying on breath, sat for 50 minutes. Mindfulness in the day, noted greed arising for food, but as aware, stopped when appropriate amount eaten at breakfast. Later in the day, ate sweets, but was aware of the craving for it, able to watch mind when restlessness arose and the chance to meditate taken. Noted the disinterest in the world politics being discussed, recognizing importance of using the time to practice instead to end the cycle of birth and death. Now noting happy in own company and solitude compared to the past, when family, friends, company were actively sought. With much gratitude to Bhante, Manio and organizers. That's the end of the first report, Venerable.
Thank you, Samantha. It's a good report. The full mindfulness experience is there right nicely. The report is good writing. And the sitting and the walking and the day-to-day activities are very nicely tally with the experience. So, for example, if I say that walking, all the steps are noticed, and the unfeel area, the arch area, so you don't feel it. You don't don't feel because it's not touching the floor. But still, you can imagine, you can see it with the feeling area. When you compare with the feeling and the non-feeling, then you can imagine, okay, this is not feeling. So out of the feeling, out of the experience where you feel, you imagine the unfeeling area. So that is a progress actually, because usually we all like to see, we all like to observe, all like to tend to observe the feeling areas. We are always keep our mind or focus on feelings. When you are familiar with the feeling, then you will observe the non-feeling area. So that is happening here. So it's explained in walking meditation, and everything is explained in which one is the prominent one, what is happening in while walking, and the thoughts are come and go. That is the reality. This is the reality. Although we want to keep all the time on surface how you feel, but mind goes around. Mind goes with the thoughts. Mind goes with the whatever feel, and mind goes with the non-feeling area also. So whatever happened, that the reporter is not frustrated, or reporter is very satisfied. So that tone is there. That is the most important thing. The happy tone is in the report. And sitting also is tally with the walking. It is also in under control, under observation, in breath and out breath. And it's, there are some notifications also about the qualities of the breath. And day to day also, the greediness or the, yeah, for food, we most of us has that. We are greedy of food. We like, sometimes we like sweet, sometimes we like savory, sometimes we like both. So the greediness is there. So don't try to eliminate it. Just observe it. When you are observed, you will not eat. You will not having any greedy anymore. Just observe it. Don't try to eliminate without eating or hiding the food away or not buying the food, or, you know, you don't need to eliminate. You know, you don't need to try to eliminate. Just observe it. So then it will go away. So good, good report overall. Thank you.
Thank you, Venerable. The second report is on, so first one is on mindful walking. Walked indoors, feet movements were prominent, toes felt cold, feet noted when heels pressed against the carpet. Body felt heavy, walking faster at the beginning, which slowed down after a while. Various thoughts arose and passed without much storytelling. Awareness returned to feet movements, noticed pain in heels and calves. Walked for 1 hour, mindful sitting, sat on the cushion, and after a quick body scan, the position was adjusted. Breath noted around nostrils and upper lip. In-breath cooler, out-breath warmer. Attention remained with rhythm of breathing for a while. Pressure in lower back noticed. Breath became subtle. Dullness in mind. Felt sleepy. Breath broke up. Lighter feeling in body and calmness in mind. Sat for 55 minutes. Now, mindfulness during the day. Noticing how the difficult conversations with others have been managed better than when a few years ago. Less reactiveness and more openness experienced. One of the main differences is the lower level of expectations of self and of others. Some of the disappointments were easier to accept. There is a higher level of observation of walking, seated, or standing positions during activities at home and at work. Dear Bhante and Venerable Rohini, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you. Theruvan Saranai. That's the end of the report, Venerable.
Thank you, Santa. Yeah, in this report also, it's very nicely go with the walking and sitting. Because in walking, it's explained about the walking speed is when it slow down. So, and similarly, in sitting, it says about felt sleepy and felt lighter, the body. So those are very nicely telling with, I mean, it is the real experience. So anybody can see it and anybody can understand that. So that good practice. And overall, I think, yeah, the continuous practice is the best thing to do when you, if you want to go forward and if you want to understand or experience more and more, you need to practice more and more. And here, actually, it says even in the day-to-day life, most of the time, the attention goes to the sitting while they are sitting, or if that person, whoever is working standing posture, so the attention goes to the posture, standing posture, and attention goes to the sitting posture. So that is nice, because whatever we do in those out of four postures, either sitting or either standing or walking. So those four postures are there all the time when we work. Whatever we do with that postures. So if someone can concentrate on that, so that is the best thing. I mean, we are carrying this body all the time, wherever we go. So that is the good thing to focus on. Good one. Thank you.
Thank you, Venerable Rohini. I think those are the two questions that reports that we have, and I don't see any other reports the link or any questions on their practice. So what we'll do now is we'll go on to any questions that people might have on their practice to ask Venerable directly, or on the talk Venerable gave this morning on evil, good and evil. So if anyone has any questions, would they like to raise their Zoom hands? Just click on the button. I don't think there's any questions at the moment, Venerable. But while we were waiting, that video and the talk Venerable gave really gave me some food for the practice. I was just wondering now, when Venerable said, just observe the mind and accept, acknowledge and accept, see what is there and feed it. So when we just observe the mind, do we also sort of like see whether it's a wholesome thought or an unwholesome thought mindfully, and then try to inject some mindfully some wisdom, like say for example if you notice that it's an unwholesome thought, like in the bad wolf scenario, then we need to change that with the good to the good thoughts by replacing them and putting some as Venerable said, effort. So do we need to sort of like mindfully sort of like do that practice as well, wise reflection at the same time, rather than just observe? That's what I was wondering. Sorry. Thank you, Venerable.
Yeah. So the best thing is just observing without having any judgment, either wholesome or unwholesome. But it is difficult. It is hard thing to do. Well, if you are not mindful enough, or if you are not practiced enough for that, so then you can acknowledge the good and reject the bad, or you can analyze whatever the thoughts. So that is, if you are going to analyze, that is when that happen, you are putting your chetana, or you have to do it in purposefully. So that is a little bit of against the mindfulness. So if you are really, really want to be mindful, you need to just observe it without any judgment. No judgment, that is the best mindfulness. Good or bad is my attitude. So sometimes when I say I have bad or unwholesome thoughts, that might not be in some cultures, not bad, a bad thing. So likewise, whatever we say bad or whatever we say good is not always good or bad in a different culture. So I'm just giving an example. So likewise, if we are judging or labeling, I had wholesome thoughts or unwholesome thought, that is, we are going backward. But it is hard. So first thing is, you can understand what is a wholesome and what is unwholesome. When you practice it more and more, then you will give up those labeling. Automatically it will happen. So then you are going to the Sammasati, we call it. So we are not observing and judging. We just observe only. That is the sammasati. So you are not giving any labeling. You are not label your thoughts with the good or bad. All the thoughts are same. All the thoughts are giving us a hard time actually. Good or bad, or wholesome or unwholesome, doesn't matter. Always it is hard for us. Always it is giving us a more and more bhava, more and more samsara. So everything is good or bad, it doesn't matter. If you can observe it and just disappear, let it disappear, then you are winning. But if you can't just analyze it and let it go, one day when your practice is more and more sharpened, when your mindfulness is sharp enough to not to attach in a bad way or good way, then you will win. I
That's
hope
wonderful.
You understand me, Samantha.
Yes, yes, Venerable. Thank you. That's quite a deep reflection, Venerable. So just not giving any value to thoughts, it just clouds the mind anyway. So without any judgment, and in their own way, the thoughts will just go. So the power of the mind, so when you put the spot of mindfulness, they'll just disappear. And then you go on to your be mindful for the next moment, and you just carry on without proliferating
right
on that. Thank you. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Exactly. That
got,
is what...
yeah. Beautiful. Thank you, Venerable. That's very helpful. We've got a hand up by Panchani. Do you want to unmute yourself and ask Venerable your question, please, Panchani? Is Panchani able to unmute, or has she got the can she unmute herself?
She should be able, yes.
Venerable Rohini, hello everybody. I just wanted to say I have definitely not reached sammasati yet, but I've been practicing for 3 years now, 4 or 5 years now. On a particular incident this week when I faced a lot of criticism, I noticed that there were negative thoughts arising. So rather than just observing, did not work for me because they were just coming more and more. So I deliberately tried to condition myself into thinking the wholesome of the person. It worked. I just wanted to put that across and ask what Venerable Manuel thinks about that.
Yeah, whatever you can do, go for it. Whenever the conflict happens, or whenever your mind is going for negative side, whatever the work for you, do it. Because it is not worth to attach or hate the situation. So whatever work for you, do it. Maybe it is contemplate. Thing is good for sometimes. Sometimes maybe you can look for some good things about the other person. Whatever the convenient and the work for you, do it. And until you get that ability or skill to look at it without any judgment, so you have to escape from the situation. So whatever the work for you, do it. That is what I do if it is not uncontrollable, if it is not controllable, if my mind is jumping. So what can we do? Then we have to go for the right decision. So if it is work for you, nobody can say don't. I'm not saying if it is work for you, go and hit. No, I'm not saying that. But if you can escape from there, using whatever the whatever things you can do, do it.
Yes, Manu. Thank you. So,
yeah, that is why Buddha give us, you know, sometimes in some sutta it says, If you have hatred feelings, then practice the metta. If you are having lustful feelings, then practice the detis kunapa, or the what do you call it? The bad about your body. So likewise, he gave us antidotes for every situation. What is doing that practicing antidote is, so when you have a lust feeling or when you have a hatred feelings, that your background thoughts are relate with that. So if you are a practitioner of metta, when you have hatred feeling, then you can bring that your metta background thoughts forward. But when you are having hatred feeling, if you don't practice before the metta, you can't do it. So you need to have a day-to-day or usual way of practicing metta. So usually what I say, what I did actually, I didn't sit and practice metta. But whenever I go for a walk or so, whenever I meet any person or a dog or cat or bird, I think in my mind, I think Sukhi Hontu, Supatreva. So I practice it. Actually, it has, Venerable Bhante Jinalankara has told us that kind of practice. So I did practice it. And it was a very helpful way of doing metta. I mean, it's random. We're not saying that all my the friends are be happy and be good and supateva, and all the madhyastha, the medium people are be happy and supateva. And not like that. Not particular person or not particular category. Random kindness. So whoever come for, whoever I meet while I was in a walking path or while I was just in a supermarket, I mean, while I was in lay life. So that's what I did. It's a random. So every time when I, in the beginning, it was so hard. Maybe 10 people passed me, then I will remember, okay, I have to say this in my mind. But later, when I practice more and more, it came naturally. So it is so easy. It went easy for me, actually. So just try it. It's a random kind of metta, practicing metta. Just whatever face. I mean, maybe it's a dog. Maybe it's a bird. Just wish, okay, supateva. Try it.
Yes, Manio, I totally agree. I've been doing that alongside the mindfulness, and you can quickly activate them because you've done it before.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Venerable. We've got another hand up by Sonali.
It's actually not a question, it's a quick request to Manio whether you could share the video that you shared before. I'd like to discuss and show it to my daughter. If you could email that, please. And if anyone else would like it, I could share it as well.
Yeah, I will put in the chat.
That would be very helpful.
That's a good
Thank
idea.
You.
Yeah, that was a very powerful message. Thank you.
How old is your daughter?
It's my 13-year-old that is working and struggling, but I think working her way through a bit of anger and anxiety issues. We've got gone quite far, but I think she always needs some help and encouragement in that. So,
is it okay to is it uploading?
I haven't actually seen it in the chat yet. It might be just, oh, it'll take a while, I think. It's a video.
Still uploading from here, I think.
Yes.
My internet is, I think, a little bit slow. So
yeah,
it's uploading. It's 98.48 megabytes, yeah.
Yeah.
It's taking too long, Manu. Yeah. Maybe you could email it.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Or send it on WhatsApp group, or either is fine.
Yeah, WhatsApp group, which one?
Oh, I forgot that you may not be part of that group. I thought Venerable Bhante was in it. I forgot that you may be not. Maybe I should add you on to it. I don't know whether it's too much disturbance for you to have more messages pinging all the time. So I didn't add you onto it, Manu. I think Arusha has uploaded it.
We got it now. It's in the link. Yeah. That's brilliant.
Thank you, Arusha.
Yeah. So we can just copy and...
So then I will stop this upload.
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah. So now we've actually come to the end of the session. And thank you, Venerable, for that very interesting talk and question and answers as well. I'll hand over to Arusha to wind up the program. Arusha, thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much, Venerable Rohini. Thank you, Samantha, for leading that part of today's session. So yes, we now come to the conclusion of today's session, which we started with some in-session mindfulness practice under the guidance of Venerable Rohini. Also with a very insightful talk about how to manage and balance the challenges of the good and evil that arise as we go about our daily lives. So again, our immense gratitude to Venerable Rohini for that talk and for the discussions that followed during the Q&A session. We also listened to the practice reports from participants and received really valuable guidance on how to improve our own practice by hearing about the experience of others and the guidance provided by Venerable Rohini. So I would like to say thank you very much to everyone for their participation and involvement. And I would very much like to thank Venerable Rohini for her generous time today and wisdom to support our mindfulness practice. We hope that the merits of this noble activity will support and enhance Venerable Rohini's own practice, and we hope she will be able to continue to guide us during future sessions. And on behalf of all the organizers and participants, I would also like to express my gratitude to Most Venerable Udayirigema Dhammajiva Mahathero for his encouragement, guidance, and support for initiating this program of Mindfulness for Beginners in English. My immense gratitude also to all the organizers who help in delivering this program and for all the participants for their enthusiastic engagement with the activity. So a final reminder that the session is open to anyone with an interest in developing mindfulness. So please do share and invite your friends, colleagues, or any other like-minded people to join us. And now I would like to close by wishing everyone very well with their practice, and I hope you have a mindful week ahead. We look forward to you joining us again next Saturday. I will now end the session.